Chapter 48 The Ilk. They gathered on the street, outside the Hall of Three Moons, sitting on a low wall or on the ground in silence. No one possessed the will to speak. Only Shatan stood, pacing up and down, acting as calm as he could, and mumbling to himself from time to time. The Shalane found herself glancing back at the entryway of the hall, hoping but not expecting to see Jen's familiar silhouette outlined in the light of the fireflies. Fenner and Jeff had not returned from their marriage chambers, and the Shalane desperately wanted to be with her friend for her own comfort, and to give whatever comfort she could provide. Shatan had dealt cruelly with Fenner to spite Jen, and the Shalane didn't think she would ever scrape together enough goodwill to forgive her husband for his crimes. Dayson sat silently behind her, and, despite his previous service, having him at her side did not feel right to her any more. She wanted Jen back, for he understood duty and pain, and therefore understood her, and while Dayson and Fenner would provide comfort, Jen was the one person she knew loved her perfectly, and his counsel, protection, and company she valued above all others. Most of all, she wanted to undo the hurt she purposefully inflicted upon him to ensure his loyalty to Fenner. The lies served no purpose any more. In her wedded loneliness, she would have given anything to hear him call her Alumira again, and talk to her about anyone and anything deep into the night. Shatan finally broke the silence.
Maywen, when do you think we should begin our journey? Do you think we should wait a few more days for others to arrive?
No, Maywen answered, sounding distant. Our best chance to avoid the Uyumak is to travel in the higher places and along unexpected paths. We had best leave tomorrow, for snow in the high places of the Far Reach Mountains during the early autumn is common. If we can make it across and into the plains heading east, it will be a sprint to the lake, for the Uyumak would be fools indeed not to cut off our retreat.
We will leave tomorrow, then, Shatan said. Everyone take your rest where you like. Meet here at dawn and we will proceed. Shalane, we shall quarter where our marriage bed is laid. Come!
I will stay here and wait for Fenner. I would ask you to clean your soiled pants before retiring, as to not befoul the bedding.
Guards with me,
Shatan ordered, voice strained. The Shalane waited until Shatan passed out of earshot, before turning her attention to the Aethon, who stood apart from everyone else. Padre Aethon, you did the former pontiff excellent service during this difficult journey for him. We commend you for it. I command you, however, to release the ward on the hall.
I will not, m'lady. I am your queen. Release the ward. I am of the Order of the White Stone, Lady Shalane. We are not oath-bound to kings or queens, only to the pontiff and to God. My former master and my new one would not want me to destroy the ward. I beg forgiveness if this offends you.
The Shalane cursed inwardly. So far, her supposed authority as queen hadn't served any purpose at all.
Very well. Though I express my displeasure at your refusal and will not forget it. Under what conditions will the former pontiff release Jen?
I do not think it likely Belliarmus will release him at all, Highness. He tried to kill the Ha'ulric, which is punishable by death according to the law of the Church. Still, the pontiff did favour him, and I do believe he thinks Jen's cause was just, if misguided. However, the pontiff sees Shatan as the key to this world's salvation, and would not willingly place him in danger.
Will the pontiff kill Jen, then? Mirel asked. There is no need. Jen will remain trapped to the floor until the pontiff dies, and then he will be trapped in the Hall of Three Moons until he starves to death, someone removes the ward, or the ward fails.
Until you die, the Shalane reasoned. She hoped she would not have to use the knowledge. She didn't know if she were capable of using it. Her mother, however, who watched the conversation coolly, was. Aethon did not know of Jen's magic, and the Shalane hoped Jen would devise some way of his own to leave. She would try to help him as best she could until then.
Kimdan?
Yes, Highness.
The Shalane measured up the young apprentice. Naked anger and sorrow played on his features. The journey had proven costly for him. He had lost his father, and he also cared for Fenner.
Stand at the door of the hall and watch Jen. Give me a report of any change in his condition.
Your will, Lady Cairn.
Kildan bowed and jogged back up the hill. The rest of you, find your rest, save you, Mother. Watch with me for Fenner's return.
Fenner and Jeff walked up the moonlit avenue long after the rest of the party had retired. The Shillane stood watching as she and Jeff talked for a moment. Jeff nodded and, slump-shouldered, ambled back the way he had come. In moments, Fenner rushed into her embrace. The Shillane invited her to sit with her mother as they told her everything that had happened to Jen. She cried, wringing her hands on her lap.
"Is there any hope of his escape?" Fenner asked. "Some," the Shillane said. "Some. We must be patient. It may be a long time before we see Jen again." "Even if he did escape," Fenner continued, "what would he do? He would be a fugitive. He could show his face nowhere, and his face is easily marked, especially after all the stories told about him."
"He will not be a fugitive in Rugarth," Merel said firmly. "Shatan is not held in high esteem there, and he may even find himself despised after word gets out about his treatment of us all. Jen will sooner rule Rugarth than Shatan."
"But Shatan does rule Rugarth," Fenner said. "Jen could not be safe there. Shatan will no doubt have spies and supporters everywhere."
Merel regarded Fenner with determined eyes.
"Shatan will be far from Rugarth, but make no mistake, I am Rugarth, and while I will be trapped in Ogmir for some time, my arm is longer than Shatan knows."
"But what of you?" the Shillane asked her handmaiden. "What are you and Jeff to do?"
"Shatan appointed Jeff the new lord of Blackshire to spite Jen. We are to return there. He has exempted Jeff from service in any war and commanded us to have many children."
Mirel shook her head.
"The Rugarthians will be outraged if the truth about this night is ever told."
"There is the problem of Shatan fomenting falsehood about Jen," the Shillane added. "Fenner, do you know what Jeff has recorded of the events between Shatan and Jen? Whom does it favour?"
"I cannot say."
"If Jeff's account does damage Shatan, you may find yourself in danger, Fenner," the Shillane whispered. "If so, make for the castle and Mikmir and secrete yourself in my quarters there. Only those who are your friends have the ability to enter there."
"How cruel this has turned," Fenner mourned, head in her hands.
"Oh, Shillane, Jen and I made our announcement knowing that Shatan would try to send Jen away. We thought if we announced our marriage that he would keep me with you to hurt him. Now I can't have Jen, and I won't be with you. How Jen must suffer."
"Jen knew, I think, that Shatan would do far more than send him away," Merel added. "In his own way, Jen was trying to see that you and the Shillane would be together and provided for at his death. There is nothing any of us could have done to make this night turn out well."
"But I love Jen," Fenner cried. "Jeff is a good man, but it is Jen that I wanted, that I worked for. How am I to get along with another?"
"Did you consummate the marriage?" Merel asked.
"Yes. Shatan sent a soldier to tell us he would kill Jen if we did not."
"Then divorce is impossible, and probably for the best," Merel counselled, placing her hand on Fenner's shoulder.
"You must try to put Jen out of your mind, my dear girl. We all should for now. He is beyond our help, and fate will do with him what it will. He played his role, and if it is done, it is done. If God sees fit for him to do more, then he will help him and we may see him again. You can take some comfort, at least, in being wed to a man who cares for you and who is decent and honourable. My daughter received no such mercy."
Fenner nodded, wiping her eyes. The Shillane found no tears at all, rage at Shatan for his treachery unseating every other emotion. To see Fenner in pain awoke thoughts of violence the Shillane had never felt before. Unlike Jen, Fenner was harmless, and any suffering she endured unjustly and undeservedly. The Shillane had never considered herself a vengeful creature, but in her mind she resolved to make Shatan regret every right he had wronged. The feeling was cold, but it filled the gnawing emptiness within her. She comforted Fenner for some time, but Fenner finally left to rest. Her mother sat by the Shillane and leaned close, whispering so that even Dacen could not hear.
"I will work to help Jen," she said. "You must have no part of it. I know you are hurt, but you have a high calling. Let me get into the mud with Shatan and Aethon and do what must be done."
With a comforting hug,
Merel signalled to Cadean and went with him into the night. The Shalane thought of retiring but was too furious to even consider sleeping. She took to pacing the avenue in front of the hall, thinking and plotting, glancing up the hill at Kimdan. 3 hours had passed since he started his watch and still no report. Though she didn't know if she could bear to see Jen again, she marched up the path, Dacen silent behind her. The doorway appeared as passable as it always had, but when she approached, Kimdan stopped her before she came too close. "Do not approach it, Lady Ken. The sensation is unpleasant and painful." The Shalane peered inside and her heart fell. Jen's boots and socks lay in a heap by his feet. The pontiff slumped against the wall next to Jen, and upon seeing her at the door, waved her away. Jen's face, pale and sweating, was also toward the door, and she saw him mouth something. As he did, the fireflies that lit the hall streamed out through the narrow windows, casting the hall into darkness. "You are relieved, Kimdan," the Shalane ordered. "Get your rest."
"I would prefer to watch, m'lady.
There is no need. We can help him no longer. Rest. We have a long day ahead of us tomorrow."
"Your will, Your Grace."
The old pontiff said little until the morning. Jen heard him fall asleep, or perhaps unconscious after the Shalane had left. The ward held Jen down, helpless. He had hoped the pontiff's worsening health would release the spell. The sickness and a sleepless night left Jen as weak as his captor looked when he finally rose in the morning. Jen doubted that he himself would fare much better in the mirror.
"Free me, please," Jen pleaded. "I must protect her. The way home is treacherous. I can help."
"Quiet, Ilk," came the raspy reply. "You will not leave this place if I can prevent it. Mikik nearly fooled us all. He is clever indeed to have put into play such a devious plan. How could we be so blind? But then again, how could we not? They checked for the mark when you entered service, did they not?"
"The Milim Eri concealed it, and they turned me from Mikik's way. Shatan is more his creature than I. You must see that."
"The Milim Eri are dead, Jen," the pontiff said. "Whispers of the past. You were created for one purpose, to stop Eldaloth's work. Mikik saw the corruption of the Haulrik. What better enemy of corruption than honor? Your very destiny is to kill the Haulrik, regardless of the circumstance. You nearly did it. Mikik shaped you, turned you into what he needed you to be in order to accomplish his purpose, kill his ultimate enemy. Because of your goodness, or perhaps our ongoing disapproval of Shatan's behavior, we turned a blind eye to the enmity growing between you."
"I am not about Mikik's business," Jen exclaimed, writhing against the power that held. "I could have killed the Shalane and Shatan 100 times over, and instead have put myself to the hazard for them. Mikik's work was done when no one counted Shatan in his ways, when he was left to self-indulgence. The church worked to shape the Shalane into the very image of godliness, while letting Shatan run with free rein toward moral dissolution. You create a hen and a fox, and expect miracles to make the one love the other when you throw them in the same cage."
"You have a tongue, but not the understanding to go with it," the pontiff wheezed. "The church tried to harness Shatan as we did with the Shalane, but Orgmer is not Rugarth. In his homeland, Shatan is adored as a god. Unlike the Shalane, he wandered where he would. And all the instruction in the world cannot change what pride and selfishness the worship of the people planted in him."
"Be that as it may," Jen argued, "but his wickedness is no work of mine. Even if I had never met the man, the world was undone. Shatan will fall before Mikik without so much as a whimper. He has no will with which to work strong magic, and the Shalane does not love him and never could, so he will not be protected from harm. Shatan alive will have no more success than Shatan dead when Mikik stands across from him on the field of battle." The pontiff's eyes softened.
"I know Shatan is weak, but there is yet time. Responsibility is his now, and he cannot ignore it. The burden of kingship and the office of pontiff will change him. There is redemption and change. If the very ilk can learn honour, love, and obedience, cannot the Haulrik do the same? I never thought that goodness could be turned to do Mikik's work, but in you it has. The last revelation of an old life.
Did he act any differently after the attack at his betrothal? Jen asked.
No. After the massacre at Donak Falls? No. I do not have faith that he will change. He will use what power is his to hurt those I care for. He has, and will.
He hurt them for your sake, Jen. Now that you are dealt with, there is no need for him to bother with them further. Your death will be the best way to protect them. I tried to kill you last night, but could not bring myself to do it. You could kill me with Triss magic if you wanted, couldn't you?
Yes, Jen replied. I think you will not have to do it. I'm short for this life. Aethon's ward will keep you here after I am passed away. You may be able to keep yourself alive for some time with your power, but this place is poison to you and will do its work ere long. I have but to send a message to Aethon and my work will be finished. The people must know you. They must learn the lesson I have learned.
The pontiff died that evening, and the force that bound Jen to the floor dissipated. Before the old man passed, he chanted his message.
Jen is the ilk. Publish it abroad.
This is the end of Book 2, but the story continues with Hunted, Book 3 of the Trismoon Saga. Keep listening after the credits for a free preview. You've been listening to Duty, Book 2 of the Trismoon Saga, produced by Greg Lawrence, executive producers James Tonn and Greg Lawrence. Text copyright 2014 by Brian K. Fuller, production copyright 2015 by Podium Publishing. All rights reserved.